Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Borenzi, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We pick up the pieces following one of the all-time classic sports weekends. Worlds collided. Everybody was in action. There were playoff games and multiple leagues going on at once. Of course, we had NFL football, college football, and, of course, the World Series, Game 6, Game 7, in what turned out to be arguably the best World Series in our lifetimes. It's hard for us to say ever, right? We didn't see the 1942 World Series live, right? Like, there's a lot of, when we saw the best ever, it's like, all right, I'm sure there was a pretty good series in like 1922 or something. But in our modern era, it's just, and forget about just baseball, just from a sports perspective, that was as good as it gets. Like from the Game 7, the World Series, that's as good, like as good as any Super Bowl, as good as any Stanley Cup Finals. Like it was, and I've seen every World Series since like 1975, and there's been some good ones. I always thought of the Braves and the Twins as a great one, but that was more the Game 7. Like the Dodgers and Blue Jays had like multiple crazy games. Like you had two games to go to extra innings in a World Series, with the longest baseball game in the history of the World Series, 18 innings, but from time-wise, we had a nearly seven-hour game. Like, both teams' depth was tested. Like, you could not – it was like an Ali, fight. It was like, Fraser Ali type thing. 15 rounds of just back-and-forth action in which, the L.A. Dodgers end up surviving, and I think that's the best way of putting it. Like, they escaped. They survived. As I tweeted and I posted on Saturday during the game, I said, the Dodgers are called the Dodgers because the people in Brooklyn used to dodge streetcars and trolleys. And, they used to be flying around. They wouldn't stop and stuff. Like, you'd have to get the hell out of the way. So that's why they were called the Dodgers. And the Dodgers got the hell out of the way of a lot of stuff, man. it was like, all right, we're done. Like, there were numerous times. Like, I swear, there was probably about 5 to 6 times on Saturday night where I said, "Well, we went as far as we could go." I was like, "Damn, the bases are loaded, man. There's nobody out. Like, we're screwed." Or it's like, "Man, there's first and third. There's nobody out. We're screwed." I was like, "If the Blue Jays just get a sacrifice fly, we lose the World Series." They couldn't do it. Like every time, the Blue Jays are like a football team. They got stopped on fourth and goal 15 times. like they got stopped on the goal line. It was unbelievable. I saw a graphic yesterday, like looking at it from a Dodger fan perspective, and they said, "I don't know how the hell we won this game." And it showed, it was like second inning, bases loaded, fourth inning, second and third, nobody out, sixth inning, bases low. Like it was like one inning after another, man, where the Jays could have blown the game open. And they didn't. And it ended up with Miguel Rojas, of all people, hitting the home run. And then, of course, my boy Will Smith, who steps up. But what a draining series. What an epic World Series. Congratulations to the Dodgers. Congratulations to the Blue Jays for winning the American League and playing their asses off in the World Series. Now, Caleb Joseph, one of the Blue Jay analysts, and the Blue Jays spend all their money on players, as you see, because who? Caleb Joseph? Like, what? Yeah. Like, so even I'm like, who the hell is Caleb? Like, so Caleb Joseph is one of the Blue Jays analysts. And he said after, and I don't have a problem with it. The guy was really upset. He's emotional. And he goes, pardon my language, but this is bullshit. The best team didn't win. The better team didn't win this series. And I'm thinking, well, dude, like either team could have won the series. And it's an insult to the Dodger players to say, oh, you weren't the better team to win. And Kiki Hernandez saw it and posted a picture and sent Caleb Joseph a picture, actually, of him with the World Series trophy on the plane. He said, good thing the better team didn't win. And he's sitting there with Kershaw and they're having a drink with the trophy. So, I get it. It's like, but don't insult the Dodger players. It could have won either way. If you're Joseph and said, I was a heartbreaker, Blue Jays could have won. They're as good as the Dodgers. I could live with and say, man, they were as good as the Dodgers in this series, but they fell short. Which would have been a fair statement, but the better team didn't win crap. That's just, he said, oh, I don't care if it sounds like sour grapes. Well, it does sound like sour grapes. Cam Stewart probably still recovering after another devastating, heartbreaking Toronto Sports City loss. That was a rough one.
Gabe, I don't know much more I could take. Are we ever going to see another championship in our lives? Maybe. That's about as close as it gets. It really felt like they were going to win, but this is the bottom line. And I don't care, better team, whatever. Good teams, great teams, find wins, ways to win, even when the other team is doing a lot of things. That's the Dodgers. They duck, they survive, they find ways to tie it up. We talked with Garner. I said I didn't want to see Hoffman in that spot. Big John Studd, the computers, whatever you want to say. He's a very loyal guy. I think Hoffman, Gabe, you know him too. He's been all over the league, a journeyman. He gives up fly balls. I didn't like him to be in that situation. He was horrible during the regular season. He got a little bit better. But this is the thing. Kudos to the Dodgers. When push came to shove, they got it done. Proud of the Blue Jays. Amazing team. A lot of guys that rode buses their whole careers. But great teams find ways. Even when they're down, they don't give up. That's why the Dodgers won the World Series. They were clutch.
And it was Miguel Rojas who saved them, and a man who had two at-bats in the postseason.
Crazy.
Until they finally sat Pajes down. And I was at game five, and that was the last Dodger home game, no matter what was going to happen. It was the last Dodger home game of the year. And Miguel Rojas of the Dodgers is retiring. He's retiring. So the game, he wasn't playing in the series. He had two at-bats. He was a defensive replacement. He stayed. Somebody, a Dodger media guy, found a clip. He said, look at this. He goes, I filmed this on Wednesday, and now look at it. Like, on Wednesday, everybody left, on the field. The Blue Jays were celebrating and whatever, and the season was over in L.A., last Dodger home game. And Rojas didn't leave. Rojas, stood at the top of the dugout, looking out forever and, soaking it all in. Why? Because it was his last game at Dodger Stadium. He was like, yeah, I'm never playing again. This is it. So he was sort of soaking it up. And then 48 hours later, he hits a home run in game seven of the World Series. You want to talk about ending your career, man. And he's going to have murals in LA. He's a legend. You're not, you know what I mean? You're a legend, bro. You saved, there was a picture of Dave Roberts after the home run. I don't know if you saw where he put his hand over his face. He looked like OJ getting off, basically. Dave Roberts thought we were done. No, I'm telling you, Mo, he wasn't fired up. He was oh, my God. And he put his hands over his eyes. And he was a relief thing. He couldn't believe it. The Dodger players kind of look yeah, whatever. Hey, high five. They were kind of casual about it, I thought. They were, not even surprised almost. It was weird. Most teams would have gone crazy at that time. But the Dodgers don't, right? They never go crazy. So I remember seeing, I was like, wow, Mookie Betts is kind of barely smiling and high-fived him. But Cam said, the Dodgers are champions. And I think the Dodgers are thinking, all right, now we win. you know what I mean? We haven't won yet, but now we win. Now that it's tied, we're
gonna win. You know what's happened too, Gabe? When they won, you look at their faces, they were happy. But it was also a happy shock. It was a very different celebration than you see because it was such a hard-fought series. They're
they were on the verge of losing for
a couple. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They were on a deathbed.
They were on the
deathbed. Their players are human. Yeah. I mean, especially Keith Hernandez. They're standing there in the outfield thinking, if they get one hit, where we lose? I won't even have to field the ball if it gets out of the – it's over. So, they were on the edge so many times and somehow survived. But, Mo, I know baseball is not your favorite sport.
Oh,
but
no. It's picked up in my eyes now, man. Pajes' catch.
From a sporting standpoint, baseball, as you say, that was as good of a sporting event. Just the whole drama, everything. Sure. And as you say, there's so many little plays. Pajes, who got taken out because he couldn't hit. But Dave Roberts, who gets criticized all the time, Dave Roberts puts him in the ninth inning, knowing, they took out D because they were he's got a stronger arm on a sacrifice fly here. He's got a better chance of throwing someone out at it was just genius. And then he runs Kiki Hernandez over in the outfield. I was like, are we going to lose the World Series because these two guys are going to collide? I was like, I could not believe that play, Mo. The Pajes catch was epic.
You know, the travel distance from his start position on that catch, 123 feet.
That's incredible.
That's wild.
123 feet, you know.
That's not speed either. That's his great baseball IQ of breaking on the ball like a wide receiver.
Oh,
he broke
sure.
at the exact moment knowing I've got to backtrack on this because this is going over my head.
For sure. And there's a couple moments, right? You go back to game six, the third inning when the Dodgers put up three. Remember the hit over Vladdy's glove?
Yeah.
It was an inch off. If Vlad was 6'4" and a half, that's an out, right? And we're maybe not talking about Toronto, LA winning the series. Toronto wins in six, but that had unscripted poetry. And I was going to ask you, Gabe, as a sports fan, was this the greatest weekend as a fan of the Dodgers and the Bills to get two hallmark wins as it was in the context coming to this weekend's sporting events?
Yeah, it was in a sense. And listen, the Whitecaps have advanced and the BC Lions advanced too. So it was a pretty good from a fan perspective. But I got to be honest with you, Mo, watching the Bills yesterday, I was kind of like, yeah, whatever, dude. Like, you know what I mean? So what? We're 5-0 against them in the regular season now. Like, it, you know, we needed the win. We get the win. I can't help but think, and we'll get to football in a minute, Mo, but I just couldn't help but think, all right, yeah, can we beat Drake May in New England now? Forget about KC. Like, the Patriots are our problem. Like, KC's not our problem. KC's got four losses. We're not the same division as them. They're not our issue. The effing New England Patriots suddenly are our problem. But you had a pause catch, and one thing came to for the Blue Jays and Mo. I don't know if you remember, Mo, but, like, the play, and it was just unbelievable. That really was kind of the world's. There were so many of the little things that could have decided it, but was the play at the plate, man. When Will Smith took his foot off the plate, which he really did, and his human reflex of just knowing, did you see, like, his foot goes up and it goes back down? It was he's like subconsciously knowing, like, oh, I got it, like, and he taps it just in a nick of time. Unbelievable. Like, you want to talk about a game of inches, you're right, Mo, about the Vlad catch. That was like one play that, like, would have been like, and you saw Otani and him, like, Otani was kind of laughing with him about it. And he said, just a little higher, right? Just a little higher.
I have a question for you guys. Which career would you rather have, Will Smith or Robert Horry?
It's not, I get where you're going at, Mo, but it's not a fair question.
But to do what he did, right? Different teams, but multiple rings.
Will Smith is a lot better than Robert Horry is.
I agree with that.
100%.
Like, you know what I mean? Like Robert Horry's not an all-star. Will Smith's an all-star. Like, Robert Horry wasn't an all-star player. Robert Horry stepped up with big shots and big games, and he did, right? That's not Will Smith. Will Smith, if Will Smith wasn't on the Dodgers, Mo, he'd be like the best player on another team type of thing. You know what I mean?
He's had some big moments himself, though, right? From the big moment perspective, right?
He's clutch.
He is huge, like Horry was as well.
He's clutch. He's clutch. But he's not. It's not the same. Like, I'll think of a baseball player to be a better analogy for, like, a Robert Horry type. But, like, Will Smith is, like, yeah, he's the best catcher in baseball. I mean, okay, Cal Raleigh came out of nowhere and hit all the home runs this year, right? But, like I said, Will Smith, you know, dude, the guy hits third for the L.A. Dodgers. That's all you need to know, you know? Right? You know, he was hitting second, actually, in this. They move him around. But thing with Will Smith is he's very un-Dodger-like, Mo. Like, if you look at the Dodgers, they're very laid back. And that's it almost hurt them, Cam, because I talked about it. Like, the Blue Jays were like a football team. The Blue Jays are raw. Like, they're going to run through an effing wall. Like, they're fired up, these dudes.
Yep.
The Addison Bargers of the world and stuff. Like, even when he was throwing the baseball to the ball boy warming up in between innings, he was, like, throwing heat, nearly taking a kid's head off. Like, the Jays were just jacked up, big dudes, ripped, like, smoking the ball. They were fired up, raw. And the Dodgers are very – every game is the same, whether it's the regular season, like, every day is the same. Like, you'll hear Mookie, I show up to the park, every day is the same, stay in the moment. So sometimes, though, it can hurt them because they're not as intense as the other team. Other times it can help them because they're calmer than the other team. And I think it showed the Dodgers sort of grace, showed they never panicked. They never panicked, right? But I was going to say, if you notice, Mo, like, the Dodger players, Otani is very laid back. Like, he talks with Vlad. Like, even when it was the 18th inning and everyone's stressed, him, like, he was smiling and stuff. Mookie Betts is very chill, gets along with everybody. They're very, like I said, they're very Freddie Freeman. They're very laid back, nice guys, the Dodgers. Will Smith, and it's funny, I posted this Saturday before the game. I said, Will Smith is our guy. I said, if you notice, Will Smith is the sort of one hard ass on the Dodgers. He doesn't talk to guys on the other team. Like, he doesn't really smile much. Hell, even when they won, when he hit the home run, he didn't smile. Like, he doesn't, he's from Louisville. He's like, he's just this sort of Kentucky kid that's a hard ass sort of like, you know, farmer kid. And even the Dodger players all said, they go, man, Will's got ice in his veins. Like, he doesn't, he's just different, this kid. Right? Like, he's the mean guy on the team. He's the one with the attitude. And he stepped up large for them. Now the question is, can they win their third World Series in a row next year and really do something special, right? Winning two is cool. But, you know, they won 3 in 6 years. If you could pull off 4 and 7, they're on the verge of being a real dynasty. Let's call it off what it is. 3 and 6, pretty good. They need more, though, right? The Florida Panthers have won 2 in a row as well. I did a poll question, actually. I said, who's the best team in sport? The Chiefs. I had the Chiefs up, the Panthers, the Dodgers, and I think I put who's the other one? I'll find the question. But, yeah, all-time epic stuff. Epic stuff. And as far as the Blue Jays are concerned, their odds right now to win the World Series next year are insanely high. 22-1. 22-1. Like, they're getting zero respect from the odds maker. Now, the thing is, you got to wait. This is the longest period of time you're going to have to wait if you're going to bet on this. But the Dodgers are the favorites at plus 350. The Yankees are plus 750. The Blue Jays are better than the Yankees. The Phillies are 10-1. The Phillies always choke. The Mariners are 12-1. The Blue Jays are better than the Mariners. The Astros are 14-1. The Blue Jays are better than the Astros are. The Mets are 14-1. The Blue Jays are better than the Mets are. The Red Sox are 16-1. The Blue Jays are better than the Red Sox are. The Braves are 18-1. The Blue Jays are better than the Braves are. So now it's down to 20-1. I see at Bet365 for the Toronto Blue Jays. I know it's a long wait, guys, but I'm all over this. The Blue Jays are going to win the American League again. They're going to get back. Like, and Rodgers has a ton of money. They're not shy to spend the money on players. And they just made, you know, honestly, win or lose, it doesn't matter. They just made billions of dollars, like on top of the trillions that they already have. So the Blue Jays will have like overspilling pockets to. And another thing is, too, remember, they came close to getting Ohtani. And Ohtani admitted it. He said, yeah, it's true. Like, it was first class, but I wanted to be a Dodger. Sasaki told the story about how he was going to sign with the Blue Jays. Like he said, I was really, really close, but I decided with the Dodgers. You know, they're close. There's more Japanese player coming. They're not all going to sign with the Dodgers. Like, the Blue Jays have money. They have a mandate to win. And they also saw, look, if we're good, we're going to make all this money again. So, like, they have an incentive to do this again. So, Cam, I wouldn't hang my head too much. I know it's disappointing. Whatever, dude. People think life's easy as a Dodger fan. We didn't win for 32 years either. We lost to the Houston Astros in the garbage can gate a couple of years ago. We lost to the St. Louis Cardinals in the plus. We lost to the Boston Red Sox in a World Series in 2018. Right? Like, we've lost, like, multiple World Series, multiple big games. Hell, the Padres beat us in the playoffs 2 years ago and eliminated us. You know, you can't cry about it. You got to pick it up and pick it up and get right back up and keep going. Put it this way, if your team is that good, you'll be back, right? That's the way I look at it.
The point that I'm trying to make, though, about the Blue Jays is, Gabe, and you know this, you cover baseball, you're the Expos guy. This was a special team because – back in the day in 92 and 93, the Blue Jays were the team to buy everybody, and they had the complete parts of one. Yeah. These guys, like the Lucases of the world, Ernie Clement playing college baseball as a Virginia Cavalier, Barger, the guy's an assassin. Like, I just look at this team up and down. Like, where'd these guys come from? It was one of the best teams to all. Like, I'm looking at, like, Vladimir Guerrero is a star, but up and down this lineup, these guys and the way they played at this level.
It was unbelievable.
It's nuts. It's nuts when you think about it.
It was just bad luck for them in the sense that if it was anyone else but the Dodgers, they would have won.
But go back 8 months ago. Go back 8 months ago if you're a Jays fan, right? The Atkins, Shapiro, everyone wanted them out, right?
They were 19 and 21, exactly. Like, right, people, yep. It was another disaster.
Right. Yep. Vlad was not signed at that moment, right? Mm-hmm. People were like, oh my God, he's going to go to the Yankees. It was all hell broke loose in Toronto about the Jays' outlook. And then, guys, think about it, right? The first 2 months of the season, they were dead to rights. They were nowhere near playoff conversation, wild card.
No, 2 weeks, with 2 weeks left in the regular season, they started to suck again.
Yeah.
Like, they started to revert back to, oh boy, like, we're all over the place here. Like, no, you're right. Listen, it was a hell of a year for the Jays. I'd be very positive if I was the Jays. I know the emotional aspect of it sucks to lose.
Sure.
But if I'm the organization, I see how much money we can make, number one. I see that the country gets behind us, number two. I see that, like, we've rejuvenated baseball. Like, the Blue Jays, like, players, and the other thing is too, like, the Blue Jay players are likable. You got the young sort of grinder guys. You got, everyone likes Vlad. Bichette's a star. They'll be able to get other players. Like, the Dodgers don't sign everybody. Like, they don't, right? You know what I mean? Like, we really don't. We didn't even go after it. We didn't even offer Soto a deal. Like, the Dodgers don't go after everybody. The Dodgers go after people they think is a good fit to be on the Dodgers.
But they're very selective. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, he's not a Dodger. He won't, like, yeah, he's really good, but he won't fit our room type thing. They're very good at that. But the Jays will be all in. Like, so I would expect the Jays to make a big-ass splash in the offseason. Like I said, there's a new Japanese pitcher. There's a Japanese hitter. There's a couple of Japanese dudes. There's a Korean guy. There's players out there. So,
what's the Jays window right now, guys? Right now, the Jays window is what right now? The next 3 years, 4 years?
I would consider it huge because they're all young guys.
So you 4 years, 5 years?
Yeah, the next couple of years. Yeah, now, you know what I mean. You know, we'll switch to football mode, but I always want to say that because you have a window. But the thing is, other teams come along. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like the Buffalo Bills. Like, all right, yeah, you got better than the Patriots. Oh, the Patriot window is closed and Brady's gone. Well, you didn't win and you took so long. Now they're good again and Drake May is good. Right. Right? There's like new teams that come up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, Josh, all right, that's my point. All right, well, all right, we beat Mahomes and the Chiefs. Okay. Well, now the Denver Broncos might have home field. So can we beat the Broncos? I don't know. Like, yeah, we just beat the Chiefs. Can we go to Denver and beat these guys? Probably, but. So we'll wrap up the baseball. We'll get into the football, actually. So, yeah, hell of a series. Hell of a series, Cam. Hell of a World Series. If you're a Blue Jay fan, I wouldn't be hanging my head. It was a hell of, you know, you could have won. You should have won. You could have, would have, should have, didn't. It is what it is. But you'll be back. Like I said, there's no reason why the Blue Jays can't get back to the World Series again. When you look at the American League, there really isn't like the powerful team. The Yankees are all right. The Red Sox are pretty good. The Astros are regressing. The Mariners are the Mariners. So it won't be easy, but there's no reason why the Blue Jays won't be back. Hell of a season, hell of a series. And part of me can't help but think that Austin Matthews and some players on the Leafs are thinking, thank God they didn't win because that would just be bad for us.
Toronto.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like these the Leafs, it's too
Connor bad. McDavid seemed genuinely upset. Like, he was rattled.
He's a huge fan. This guy's from Newmarket, Gabe. You know, he's just outside.
He likes the Jays. Also, like, he lost in seven, so he's basically, he seemed pretty gutted about it. And the Oilers, too, I don't know if you guys saw this, but I don't know who told
them. They had the game on the scoreboard, no?
Yeah, but the announcer announced on TV, the Blue Jays have just won the World Series during the Edmonton game. So if you were watching the world, if you were just watching the Oilers game, you would have thought they won. He goes, and the Blue Jays have just won the World Series. The Blue Jays have won the World Series. And then he says, oh, no, I'm being informed he's out at home plate. They didn't win.
What? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Is that a fireable offense or no?
No.
It's just, he just got excited. But that's
and
still
it's not
crazy.
Him. I think it's so. What's the guy's name? The guy that yells all the time? Gene? What's his name?
Oh, no. The guy, like, it's been our pleasure, Richard.
Yeah, it was that guy that did it. It was him. The Blue Jays have won the World Series. He was doing it in his voice.
That's amazing.
And it was like, and then he goes, oh, no, they tell me he's out at home plate now.
The best is.
So someone was in his earpiece, Mo. It wasn't him. Somebody probably just said, oh, they just won. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's tagline. The pleasure was all ours. Like, he does this like crazy game. No, the guy's a lunatic. He does these Edmonton Oilers games. He's a wild man.
Yeah, you're into announcing stuff, Mo. So I'm sure you go to a website off. Yeah,
of course.
It's his up name's on, Richards. It's all over the place.
Guy's classic.
Toronto still in Argos Town. Just FYI, still in Argos Town. Three great clubs since 2017. Still in Argos Town.
The champs.
Argos, yes. Yes.
So speaking of which, CFL, we're down. No surprises. We all thought that these would be the four teams that were playing, coming into the weekend. Montreal, I thought it was going to be Winnipeg, and we thought the BC was going to beat Calgary. The BC-Calgary game was a hell of a game, though. Whoa. Really, really fun, but it was too bad. That was going on as the baseball started. Like, they tried to avoid it, and they couldn't. So now we got the Montreal Alouettes, 2 o'clock, minus 1.5-point favorites at Hamilton. Mo is in Montreal, knows the Alouettes. Mo, they're starting when Davis Alexander is there and they're healthy. They're a completely different football team. And we see this right now. And what's he up to now? Is it 11 now or 10?
12. I think it's 12 now. Yeah.
Yeah. 12.
12. Yeah.
So he hasn't lost. He's got 12 straight starts in the CFL, which he hasn't lost, which is a record. Past, like, Bo Levi Mitchell had like 8 or 9, whatever. And Danny Mac had like, so he's the all time record holder now.
Yeah.
It'd be an incredible run, Mo, if he can run the table here. Right. And say, hey, I'm 14-0 in the CFL with a Grey Cup championship. I think they're going to beat the Hamilton Tiger Cats on Saturday.
I agree. I think we all agreed last week that the winner of Winnipeg-Montreal would go to the Grey Cup. And I think Montreal have less question marks. Sure, their D-line might be weak because of what happened with Oakman being released. A couple of guys still banged up. Mustafa Johnson is supposed to play on the weekend. But right now, I think you look at Hamilton guys. You know, they've earned the right to be the home team because they got first place, sure. But they've been stumbling, wheezing into the playoffs. Not convincing wins of late. Had to win the last day to beat Ottawa to get the first seed. But Montreal's been playing playoff football since the turn of Labor Day, guys. Davis Alexander, what he does so well is that he's able to buy himself a split second more to get himself ready to throw a football, whether it's Austin Mack or Phil Potter, whoever's open at that point. And that's what has kept this team relevant in terms of the offensive dynamics they've built up here.
You know who he reminds me of from an NFL perspective, Mo?
Johnny Manziel a little bit.
Yeah, same ballpark. Not as good of an arm, but as he's Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield. Like, he rolls out, you know, sidearm. Hey, I throw it 7-8 yards. Hey, I can run for a first. He's not the fastest guy. He doesn't have the strongest arm. But when you combine it all, he's just a little cannonball out there. Small guy, too.
Yeah, he's thick, right? And, yeah, yeah. You know, I had asked him in postgame, like, how quickly do you go on to Hamilton? He goes, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., I'm on the film, right? So he's got that Brady aura of, I'm locked in. I'm not celebrating this game.
He's not the most athletic guy. He has to be smart, yeah.
For sure. And I just think the key for Montreal, if they're going to win on Saturday, is Steve Scott in the running game. Remember, they had no running game, guys. They couldn't run the football. Us three could run the ball better 4 months ago than Montreal did. They have run the ball so much more efficiently here, guys. If they get that production like they did against Winnipeg and in weeks past, they should roll over Hamilton and get
I'm concerned about the defense, though, and I was wrong. I thought that game was going to be an under. Like, there was a lot of points in that game, and Winnipeg was moving the ball. They made plays. I'm not worried about the offense. I think they'll find a way to get it done, but that was Montreal's strength earlier. I'm kind of worried about them giving up a lot of, like, loose plays and points, but maybe they'll buckle down this week against the Ticats.
Cam, to the defense of Montreal, you know, Davis threw that bad pick, right? Like, there were some bad moments in the third quarter whenever that deluge of points came for Winnipeg. Yeah. But I thought they locked it down in the fourth quarter.
There was a pick six.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A scoop and score, but not the score, but the scoop all the way down to the six or whatever after. Yeah, they got 21, like, free points, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, it was a quick, but it is true. Like, one thing, Hamilton's offense is good, right? That's the, you know what I mean? I thought Rob Vino had a good point when he basically said Hamilton and BC are kind of the East and West version of each other in a way. I think BC are a little better, but, like, Hamilton will score. Their defense isn't very good, but they can put points up on the board. So, yeah, Cam, I think Montreal, like, I think Hamilton will score on Montreal. I don't think they're just going to shut them down. So Montreal better be able to score in this game. I don't think it's an easy game for the Alouettes, but I expect the Alouettes to be able to survive.
What's the total right now for that game? I didn't see the total.
52.5.
I think it goes over, but I think Montreal just comes up with a key moment on defense to win that football game for them.
And they got
dudes, man.
We got BC. BC, you're getting 3.5 in Saskatchewan, Cam. What's your opinion there?
I'm taking BC. I said Montreal, BC, Grey Cup. I get it that the Riders are at home. The Melonheads, they're favorites. BC's defense is a little bit loose, but that offense is electrifying. If they could just find a way to get some stops. I think Saskatchewan too, Gabe, watching this team play, they haven't been dominant. And sometimes people are like, oh, you know, they got a break. I'd rather play football and play football again. BC needs to jump on these guys early, punch them in the face and say, we're here to battle you guys. This game could be, you look at the total and say it's going to be a track meet. This is the one that I'm kind of worried about. Maybe not. I think the BC Lions defense can step up. I'll take the points. I'll sprinkle on the money line. BC, Montreal, Grey Cup final. Let's rock.
Mo?
Rematch 2006, Cam. Don't forget. In Winnipeg.
Let's do it. Yeah.
my
symmetry.
19 years later, we have the symmetry for that game. My biggest concern about BC, guys, is how well do they adapt to the weather? I mean, that's been the knock on BC. You talk to anyone in the CFL, right? Great indoor team, but when they go in the playoffs to Winnipeg, Calgary, and now Sask, not so great. And my question for them coming in is that Rourke
they
is
catch a break.
What's the weather supposed to be this weekend? Like 2 degrees, 3 degrees?
You know what? They got
to
suck it up. I don't care about indoor or outdoor. Put on some damn like winter clothes and get in there and play a football game.
It's going to snow though on Saturday, I believe.
Glenn Suter actually, and I talked about this at the time. Suter was on top of it. Like 3 weeks, 2-3 weeks ago, he talked about how he thought the Lions and the Riders were on a collision course. And he goes, I already looked ahead to the weather actually that weekend in Regina. But I'm seeing now it's colder than what the projection was. -2 snow showers. So
that impacts
what you just said, Mo. Not ideal for the Lions.
No, but
this
if the
is
Lions
not what they want.
But Gabe, you brought the point when you had your frustrations about BC back in the summertime, how they can't stop the run, right? What's been the common thing we've been discussing about BC? They can't stop the run. If Sask gets going with the running game. Right. And now in those conditions, it's going to be like, can they pound them to submission by the halftime point that by the third, fourth quarter, BC is not, I'm not going to touch this guy. Go ahead, run for 5 yards. I'll let someone else.
One thing to BC, they've gotten better at it. They have gotten better against the run. They've tightened it up a lot. I'll give them that. But they're still not physical on the D line. Right. Betts is a speed guy. Their secondary is good. We see it. But you can run the ball like right up the middle, right down the throat of the BC Lions over and over, and it does wear them out. They're undersized. To me, the Lions, the one thing the Lions can do suddenly, though, is they can run the ball, though, now. Right? Butler is good. They just didn't give it to him. So Butler is good. You know, we'll see about the weather. Just because it says this doesn't mean it's going to be this. It's not that cold, but
Gabe, but Butler, like these guys, I'm taking a look at the BC. Butler went to Iowa. Iowa's friggin' cold. Like, it's one of these things. Cold, you know what I mean? Like, I get it. They're an indoor team or whatever, but it's a friggin' game. And if you played college in conditions like this, like a lot of their guys, I'm looking at Rourke, Miami, he played with Ohio,
Rourke
for God's sake.
Exactly. Like, so he grew up outside of Toronto. Like, it's not like he grew up in California. You
know? That's the whole thing. Like, I'm looking at these guys, and a lot of their main guys played at cold weather schools. So I'm just going to say.
No, but this isn't cold weather. Let's not call 28 degrees minus too cold.
Yeah, it's wet weather.
Slick. Yes.
Which, rain's not the end of the world. The BC Lions practice in rain every day.
But it's also the winds, too, at Mosaic.
Mm-hmm. 7-mile-an-hour winds. It will not be windy.
But they built up those wind deflectors, right? But from those who I know who played at Mosaic.
They won't lose. Weather won't be a factor for them. I'm just saying. They're not going to lose because of the weather, right?
But the wind could. And the thing is, people have told me who played at Mosaic that the wind, it might be dead for 2 hours, and then the wind swirl comes in. So it's a matter of winning the coin toss. Do you defer for the second half? Do you play the position of having the wind in your backs, whatever it is? That's going to be key, guys. And weather will be watched very closely and how the wind's going to be in the later hours of that game in the third and fourth quarter.
I hope BC can pull it off. I think BC plus the 3.5, I'm going to bet on them, obviously. But it's one of those I'm hoping for the best. I've seen it a million times, guys. Like, I've seen this over and over. Like, what's their record? Let me see their – what's their record head-to-head? BC do not beat Saskatchewan. It's like they're kryptonite.
But they with Winnipeg too, right? BC
it
can't
was.
Beat Winnipeg. Yeah.
Yeah, but they could. They started to beat Winnipeg, but Winnipeg are getting older. You know what I mean? even Milt Stegall, he said it's done. Like, this team. What would you do, Mo? It's kind of a cold world, but – would you move on from Kolaris if you're winning? You got to get younger.
Yes.
I would. So I'd say you can't just do the same thing over again. He's going to get hurt. They're older. Like, it wasn't like, oh, we had a really good team this year, we fell short. It's like, nah, guys, we're getting worse as time goes on here.
So last year, I spoke to someone close enough to Winnipeg, and they said this would be the last swan song of the band, the core group, because Winnipeg hosts
Riviera, Claros.
Exactly, and Jefferson, all those guys.
Yeah.
In the press conference, he was asked twice. He was pressed on it. He's got, guys, I'm not talking about my future. But then I had asked him, I go, Zach, can you use one word to define this six-year run? And he went in depth, guys. Like, he went in depth and said, I'm very blessed that I was a part of this process. Now, he came out the next day. He's like, I'm going to take my time, this and that. But guys, this reminds me of the anti-Calvillo led Alouettes. Remember, they had that dominance from 08 to 2010, and then it started to fall off here and there. In 2013, he took that bad hit in Saskatchewan and had to retire. This is the situation for Winnipeg. They have to look at it from that perspective, like 1 year too early, then 1 year too late. And I think for Zach Collars, at his age, you got to find a new quarterback, because that is now gone past him, because this team needs to reboot and rebuild itself up from where they were 5 years ago to where they are now.
I should note that BC played Saskatchewan the last game of the regular season, and the Rough Riders weren't playing for anything, but they still started their starters in the first half. And it was a battle for the BC Lions to win the game. Even in the second half with the backups in with Saskatchewan, BC ended up winning the game 27-21, but it wasn't easy for them. But I like the fact, Mo, that it was at Mosaic, right? Like, so they've been there. It's not like, we can't win against these guys. And I do agree with you, Cam, that the Riders haven't looked great for like a month and a half or so, to be honest.
Yep.
They sort of survived. I don't know. Like, they were in first place by so much, so it's tough to fully judge. They got to flick the switch. I hope it's BC, but I'm just being honest. I think I wouldn't be surprised if Saskatchewan won a really close game or BC wins a really close game. So I'll take the 3.5. I'll tease BC. But I won't go homer here. My prediction will be that it's going to be Montreal and Saskatchewan in the Grey Cup, and I'll take Montreal to win. I'm going to bet on the Alouettes to win the Grey Cup now. It's like plus 280, plus 300, that range, depending on your book. I'll just take it now, knowing that I think they're going to beat Hamilton. And if it ends up being, I almost hope it is a Montreal BC. I'm tired of teams that I like going head to head with each other. Yeah, like, I'll be in a tough spot here. Like, you know what I mean? Like
Miss Elizabeth with Hogan and Savage.
What do you think? I am an Alouette fan at heart. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Miss Elizabeth Hogan and Savage.
I was a season ticket holder. Like, I grew up. I do love the Alouettes. Like, I've been going to Alouette games. Like, I love the Alouettes. But I've been here for 6 years. I go to BC games. I'm on their broadcast. Like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, so I'm torn. It's like, oh, God, I hope they don't play each other. Like, you know what I'm saying? But they might, but yeah, my prediction will be it'll be Saskatchewan versus Montreal. I hope I'm wrong, but I think BC could cover it. I love BC plus 10.5 on a teaser, Cam. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, and I know people say don't cross zero. I can do whatever the hell I want. You get Montreal to 4.5, or you can take Hamilton at 9.5. I think that game will find a middle, but I think BC can win, Gabe. And the key is, as I said before, when you're not playing a lot of football and you're resting, that's when you can jump on them. It's essential that the BC Lions, like in the first couple drives, tell Saskatchewan, we're here, put up a couple touchdowns and say, let's party. That's the whole thing. You can't, because the Riders are eventually going to figure it out. I think it's very important. I might take BC in the first quarter and first half in this football game.
One thing with BC, it's almost, I don't want to use the Blue Jays, but they're confident.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have a quiet confidence about them. Like, they know, like, no one thinks, including me. All right, Marenzi, you don't know. You don't even think. You even buy our merchandise and come down to our practices, and you don't even think we're going to win. Like, you know what I mean? Like they're going to be thinking, all right. No, you got, no one thinks we're going to beat Saskatchewan, huh? Thing is, BC have won 7 games in a row now, guys. Like, they're in a zone. It ain't easy for them, but they find a way. Like, they, you know, and their offense, like Cam said, their offense is amazing. Right, like, they're going to move the ball. They start off games slow a little bit, but they get the offense going. They do move the ball in chunks. McKinnis has been great for them. Butler's been good. Boy. Yeah, they're just all, like, it's, you know, it's come together for them, man. I can't wait for the game. It's going to be a really fun game. So this is how clueless I am. We're not really clueless, but how stupid MLS is and everything. All right, so the Whitecap, they do this wild card stuff. Or the opening, they do the wild card, then they do the opening round of the playoffs. The opening round of the playoffs is the best of 2 or 3. But then it goes to single elimination after. It's like it should have been the other way around. You should have had your dumb little wild card. Get the wild card teams out, and then the real teams get to play a best of 2 or 3. best of two or three is stupid in soccer. You're a big soccer guy, Mo. Like
I am.
What are we doing, man? Like
this dude, two legs. Exactly. Home away.
If you wanted to do that legs, stuff do the at the end, not at the start, like we've been doing for 100 years. We all know the rule. Ridiculous. We'll add up the combined score through the two games. Like it is what it is. We know how to do this. So the MLS, though, they want money, right? Oh, well, ticket sales, and you know, every team will get a playoff game this way. Fine. But it's too long, man. So the Whitecaps eliminate Dallas in two games. Boom. They handle their business. Good for them. I'm all like, and LAFC. And we can't avoid LAFC, Cam. But see, you guys in the rest of the country won't all be pulling for us, though, against LA, like in the same way with the Whitecaps. Yeah, that's why I'm like, people are like, oh, you should feel bad for this. I'm like, you guys don't care about the Whitecaps or the Canucks. Why should I cry for you? Like, the Whitecaps, they're kicking ass. They could win the championship. But, Mo, I know you follow soccer. And, man, yeah. LAFC got that Song guy, man. That guy got, like, 15 goals in 10 games, bro.
Yeah, him and Song is an incredible talent for LAFC.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's, like, as big as a Korean boy band, like, type thing.
Yeah.
Like, he's the biggest. He's one literally one of the biggest stars in L.A. now. Like, dude, he went to the Ram game, man. It was a near riot.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he's popular. Like, wow. Like,
who's that Korean boy band, BTS?
Yeah, I
don't know. The Bangtan Boys. Yeah, yeah, those guys.
Yeah, yeah, but I guess he's, like, the best Korean player ever type of deal.
He is. And
he's on LAFC. He signed the same week that Mueller signed with Vancouver.
Vancouver, yeah.
So they brought in their guy, and they're sort of on a head-to-head thing, and they're actually rivals. The Whitecaps have been eliminated a couple of times in a row by LAFC in the playoffs, and LAFC goes on and wins after and stuff. So this time it's different. So I'm all fired up, Mo. I'm like, all right, yeah, man, next weekend, man, LAFC and the Whitecaps. And I'm thinking, oh, what about the BC Lion game? That's Saturday, too. Yeah, the Whitecap game, they're playing November the 22nd.
A week before Thanksgiving.
What?
Okay, November the 22nd.
That's 3 weeks.
3 weeks because for one game? I got to wait 3 weeks now? Like,
what is going on here?
Sucks. You guys got to change this.
Honestly, that is the dumbest thing. This league, like, and the thing is, it's getting
popular. I went to a playoff game last week, Cam, so I'll see you next month for the next playoff round.
Like, see you in 35 days. No, it's hard
if you're a hardcore fan to stay on top of it or enthusiastic about it.
Exactly.
But I'll tell you why, though. Because of the World Cup.
But, Mo, that's way too long.
I totally agree.
No, it's no. They got another thing because the problem is they planned it in advance. So, like, there's teams that could have went three games, but they didn't go three games. You know what I mean? So, like, LA and Vancouver could be playing next week, right? This week type thing. But they can't get ahead because other teams are going three games. It's just, no, it's just sure. Incredibly stupid. Everything they do is stupid. They're changing their schedule next year or in 2 years. I think it's next year, whatever.
For sure. But also to add to it is because also there's that last window of World Cup qualifiers, too, that adds to it, right? Because if that wasn't there, they probably played the week November 15th, not the 22nd.
Yeah, this is another problem that they have. There's always international
World Cup windows.
Something with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's no how many people, Mo, the World Cup windows right now, the teams that are playing to get to the World Cup are the Falkland Islands of the world and stuff like that, bro. There ain't no.
This is the last window, right? Before.
Yeah, I know, but they're all like the smaller. Nobody. I'm just saying, no one on LAFC or the Whitecaps are playing in it.
You know, Son is going to be playing, I think, for South Korea, I believe.
Are they trying to qualify still right now?
I don't think. I got to double check. I think they did qualify, or they're on the cusp of qualifying. Not.
Like they're already in.
Yeah, I'll find out. Yeah, they should be in though. They should be in.
No, it's just they're stupid. It's as simple as that. Like they drag their season out way too long. It feels like 2 years ago that I went to see Vancouver beat Messi. It was this season. I was like, oh, when was that? Oh, last summer? I don't even remember. Like last spring, the CONCACAF Champions League. Like it's all been part of the same season where we got food poisoned and poisoned in Mexico. Like that was this year. Like this year is insane. How long?
That was in April, right? Was that April, May?
It just doesn't end. But it actually helps the Whitecaps because the Whitecaps have a million injured players. And they're still good anyways. They're amongst the best without them. But now they really will have Brian White back. And everybody's going to be 100% and stuff. So I can't wait for that. That's November the 22nd, BC Place. It's a Saturday. Give me a Saturday night. LAFC elimination game to go to the Western Conference Final. and pretty hot. In fact, that I saw today, they said they've already sold 25,000 tickets, which is yes and no, whatever, guys. There's 25,000 hardcore Whitecap fans. That's how many of us there are. We go, like, they get 25,000, but they're opening up the upper bowl. I know the Lions did too, but the Whitecaps are bigger than the Lions are now suddenly, right, because of Mueller. So I honestly think we're going to get like 40,000, maybe 40. Like, I really do believe it's going to be like really big. LAFC versus the Whitecaps. They got weeks to hype this thing up. And it's going to be big, big when it's all said and done. Can't wait for that. All right. So NFL football. I did the pregame show last night for the Seattle Seahawks Washington game. And I told people before the game started, it's incredible the run that the Seattle Seahawks are on right now on the road. It's a franchise record winning streak that they're on the road. Now 10 straight road victories. They've won 10 straight road games. It's unbelievable. If this team could win at home, man, it'd be in first place in the conference. But just a hell of a performance last night to go on the road. Washington aren't very good, but I like the Seattle team, Cam. I like Darnold. I like the moves that they made. I told people during training camp, I said there's a different feel about the Seahawks this year, right? I get the Seattle news, so like every day there's Seattle updates and live from camp and blah blah and all that stuff. So you got to believe the players sometimes. Like, the players were like, we're a really young team. We really get along. There's a great team chemistry. It was like everybody that plays the same position tries to help each other. There's no jealousy. There's no, oh, you start, I don't. He said, like, they were all talking about how we're just a team, like a team. We're a collective team. And McDonald, like, wanted to play faster and meaner and just sort of sharper. And let's pick up the pace, pick up the speed a little bit, like the tempo. And on defense, like, people talk about Darnold, but the defense, that's where their defense is really good. Like, the Seahawks, they play these little nickel packages that really confuse quarterbacks. And they get to the ball quickly. They cut down these lanes quickly. You got Leonard Williams, who's captaining this thing on the defensive line. They have a good defensive line. They got good linebackers. They got good DBs. Like I said, guys, I've talked about this a million times where I said, I watched them last night. I'm watching them play, and I'm watching them on offense even, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, this is the Michigan Wolverine team that won the championship 2 years ago. Same play calls. Like, don't forget, McDonald's a Harbaugh guy, right? Mm-hmm. McDonald was the defensive coordinator with the Michigan Wolverines and the Baltimore Ravens, so he's been with both of them. And recently, right, he was at Michigan 3 years ago. He didn't win the championship 2 years ago. That was Jesse Minter, who's the DC with the Chargers now. And he's with Baltimore. So I know McDonald and what he wants to do. And he basically told everybody, we're going to be Michigan and Baltimore. Like, we're going to beat people up. And, you know, it doesn't mean we're going to run the ball on every down. We're going to run play action, but we're going to play hard defense. We want that sort of, like, Baltimore Raven, fly around, Michigan, tough guy mentality. And we want to be tough. And it's working, Ken. They got a good football team. Now, the schedule has been, you know, they haven't played. You know, I'm not giving them the Super Bowl right now, but they're battling right now in a very tough division.
I think they're amazing. By the way, this organization needs to be commended for the draft. Nick Emmanuari from South Carolina is a steal in the second round. He's been hurt. He's back. The guy's flying around. We got Witherspoon. That was a great draft pick, Gabe. And another thing is, take a look at the offense, too. Horton had 2 touchdowns. He's a 5th-round pick out of Colorado State. McDonald's a great coach. You're right. I watch this team, and they're literally beating people up. Gray Zabel on the line. The first-round pick's been great. They give Darnold time. JSN's unreal. This guy, this receiver, he runs the best patterns, perfect, flawlessly. The defense had injuries. They're getting back. I love the way the Seahawks play, and they absolutely punch you in the face. You're right. It's very similar to Michigan, old school Baltimore Ravens stuff. They're a dangerous team, guys. Like, the thing about looking at Seattle going, like, they're very dangerous. Like, they can beat you in different ways. The receiving core has been great. The defense with holes is stepping up. Like, their pass rush is, like, way better than I anticipated. You saw Stroud. He got murdered in that game. Like, they're all over it. Gabe, you watch these games, They're getting to every quarterback they play. Very proud of the Seahawks right now. They're going in the right direction. I think they're a contender.
If I was the Seahawks, Mo, and I don't know if you agree with this, I would see here what wide receivers are available at the deadline.
Jacoby Myers, maybe, from the Raiders?
What about Waddle?
Oh, like Jacoby Myers, perfect. And I know Myers, perfect. Waddle be nice, but Myers, better route runner. Mm-hmm. Myers be perfect for Sam Darnold, right? Like, that's the thing with Seattle. They're right there. You're right there, but don't get complacent, right? Yeah, Horton's been a nice find. I like him. JSN runs the smoothest routes, great and stuff, but Cup can't be counted on to be healthy all the time. And it's not even that. I'm not denigrating them. I'm saying, like, yeah, your season's going so good that this is real now. Like, let's get more bodies in here to help. You can never have too much help, right? You know what I mean? We're going to be in the playoffs. Hey, man, imagine having a Myers here, like, as well, or a Waddle, et cetera. Like, if I'm Seattle, I'd be looking right now, you know, let's see if we can pick up one of these guys if they're available. I know, like, people were talking. I saw Orlovsky saying that Buffalo and Pittsburgh are the two best spots for Myers. I don't know if Buffalo's going to do it. I think they like their guys, and they'll go with the tight ends. But Seattle in a good spot right now. But the thing is, man, San Francisco are injured, but they keep winning games all the time anyways. The Rams keep winning games, so Seattle has to keep winning. They're in a tough-ass division. They get Arizona this week. Arizona at Seattle. Seattle are 7-point favorites. Games of the week coming up in the NFL this week. Monday Night Football. Philadelphia at Green Bay. The Sunday Nighter is the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Chargers. Oh, we got a 49er-Ram matchup, actually. That is big, considering the division we were just talking about. Some big games there. Buffalo comes off the win. Nice win for the Bills, Mo. You brought it up briefly earlier. The Bills handled their business yesterday against the Chiefs.
They do, and I have to give credit to the defense. I mean, with all those guys not playing, the Olivers and everyone else that's been depleting the defense here, they played well. Like, they made things difficult for Mahomes. And I think, you know, and again, Gabe, you know, being a Bills fan that you are, yes, we know the win-loss record of the Bills against the Chiefs during the regular season compared to the playoffs here. But this is huge because of this one point here. They're chasing the Patriots right now for the top seed in the East and also for the conference. But also, for the Buffalo Bills, you'd rather have the Chiefs come back to your backyard than going down to Arrowhead again, right, for this playoff closing course that we're going to expect here. But I just thought they played a good, comprehensive game, both sides of the football. But most importantly, though, for the defense, they were huge. And again, to your point about Buffalo being buyers or not, Gabe, they're in their window right now. If there's someone that's there on the cheap for a pass rusher or for another D lineman, you got to go and acquire that, because that's how you win in January and February, is having that strong D line to win a Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah, that's how the Eagles do it, right? Like I say, you never have too much help. Whenever I say that, yeah, you're a championship caliber team. You're not insulting the guy. What do you mean? You don't think we can do it? When I would say to the Bills, no, you haven't done it. So, no, we need more help. Like, you know what I mean? You can never have too much help and talent on a team. So, yeah, what a wild, wild, wild weekend of sports. And we'll wrap it up with some college football quickly on the way out here. Another week, another coach gets fired at another big-time program. So now Hugh Freeze is out at Auburn. And, man, there's a lot of jobs available right now. I thought from day one, and I said when James Franklin got fired, I said James Franklin's going to end up at Auburn. And that seems to be the buzz right now, that James Franklin is going to end up with the Auburn Tigers when it's all said and done. But pure chaos in college football, Mo, on a week. Like I said, man, you got LSU don't have a – they don't have a coach. They don't have a president. They don't have an athletic director.
They got a governor.
They got a governor who's playing all the above, which is insane to me that they're letting this guy run the thing. You're right, Brian. The Landry's all over it. This guy wanted live tigers on the sideline, all right? So this gives you a perspective of what this guy is about. Seriously.
That's ridiculous.
But you got the Florida Gators, you got Auburn, you got Penn State, you got Virginia Tech. Like, I'm even leaving some schools out here.
Your school, Arkansas.
Or, hey, Arkansas is a little down on this list compared to the the blue bloodness of this, right?
Especially with Lashley re-upping with SMU, right? So that hurts their chances.
It's just, there's not enough, all these coaches, there's not enough coaches to replace them with. Just point blank. But yeah, I believe you'll see, that's my guess. James Franklin, that'll be the place he'll end up. And it'll be ironic that he ends up like Alabama will be his new Ohio State, Michigan type thing.
I wouldn't discount John Summerall from Tulane. He's an Alabama guy, right? He's from the state of Alabama.
The Tulane guy, he's going to, like, the other teams are going to be, like, poking around. You know whose name keeps popping up for Auburn, actually, is Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah. Yep. He's another Alabama guy, too. You play that thing called football in Alabama.
I would not hire Jimbo Fisher, in my opinion. I know. Like, I just, I think you have to go in a different direction.
I would go, like, if you look, no, I wouldn't either, Cam. If you look like, so you look, a guy like Ryan Silverfield. Ryan Silverfield's the coach of Memphis.
Yep.
Doing a hell of a job. There's a big difference, and I like Memphis, but there's a big difference between coaching Memphis and Auburn. So, yeah. Like, I wouldn't go that route. Same with Alex Golish. Alex Golish, South Florida coach. He's really being connected to Arkansas a lot. So I don't have a problem with it, but I'm just stating that I would almost rather go like coordinator type. Like a good example, guys, like Dan Lanning. Dan Lanning wasn't a coach before. Dan Lanning was the defensive coordinator of the Georgia Bulldogs. And look what he's doing now, right? Like, I'm not a fan of just hiring, like, you know, what are you going to hire Jimbo Fisher for? The guy hasn't coached for years. Like, what's
exactly.
The point? Like, because of his name? Like, what are we
they
doing?
They talked about coordinators with no head coaching experience, and they had a list of them, and all were successful, where we go, but we have these retreads as coaches that can't do it anyway. Why would you hire a guy just to fail at a different place?
I would say a guy, Glenn Schumann right now is a good example.
That's a good call.
This guy, Glenn Schumann, is the defensive coordinator of the Georgia Bulldogs. And was with Alabama before. So he's a Nick Saban guy. And when Saban left, he went to Georgia as well. And you saw, so Dan Lanning was the defensive coordinator at Georgia. Like, that, you're coaching against high, like, if you're coming in from Memphis, you've never been in the SEC, right? You haven't seen these teams. You haven't seen the stadium. You haven't seen the offenses. Yeah, Alex Golish is a really good coach, but if you're the Georgia defensive coordinator, you're already in the conference. You've seen this stuff. You know it. You've coached against it. Right. It's not all new to you. Right. So that's just my whole thing. When somebody's these programs just want to shoot for a name coach. But as far as Auburn is concerned, my prediction is that James Frank, because Franklin's going to have his choice of these jobs. He's going to get multiple offers.
Oh, I'll give you a wild card name. Kenny Dillingham from Arizona State. He's been noising about needing funds to make ASU relevant in the Big 12. Right. And his style fits the profile of an SEC program. And I would think that Auburn and Arkansas might just do their investigation if he might want to come down to that part of the country to be a coach SEC.
Yeah, he seems to be a fit. I haven't heard Auburn with him, but Arkansas has popped up quite a bit. Definitely, teams are going to go after Dillingham. He's got that. You're right, Mo. He's got the personality for the SEC. He's cocky. You know what I mean? Like, he's not
– Yeah.
He, you know, but Arizona State do have money. They just spent like $300 million on facilities. They're building this new, they do have money, and I don't think they want to lose them. I think they'll up the money for them. Like, they had, like, who was the coach the other day? Got paid more.
Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule got paid more. Like, for
unreal.
What?
Exactly.
You ready for the buyout clause? $73 million for his buyout if he gets fired by Nebraska.
Wow.
Yes. You know what? They'll have the same agent, Cam. All the, you know, Mo, like, it's the guy Sexton, right? So, like, he plays all these schools.
He does.
Like, so he floats the name out, and he tells them, well, you know what? Penn State might want Rhule, and, you know, you better pay him more if you want him to stay. And it's like, no, they don't. Like, just because what? Like, you create these rumors and stuff. But, yeah, man, to be a college football coach, not a bad life, man. You're almost better off being fired.
Exactly.
Than keeping your job with these buyouts. And
working at ACC Network like Jimbo Fisher is.
I like, though, what they did with the guy, though, that keeps on giving out these big contracts at LSU. They fired him, too. Woodward's out.
Exactly. You've got to be a little bit
more. He was the one, Mo, that gave Fisher the deal at Texas A&M, and he gave Kelly the deal.
Horrible.
Yeah.
He's paying over $100 million to coaches that aren't coaching. So they told him, yeah, you're out now too. Yeah, by the way.
$6.5 million was his buyout for him being fired by LSU.
Unreal.
He didn't have a – he should have had a bigger one, but he had a governor. No, whatever, dude. Screw them. No love lost between everybody in that state right now. Complete, pure chaos. And that's the best job, actually. So, like,
LSU,
that's the one, right? Like, we're talking, like, Florida this, Penn State that. Like, if you ask me which job, like, is the best one out of all those ones, I'd say LSU.
If you minus the governor interference.
You're right. Minus the governor who you really – he's going to have you on speed dial. You're right. The governor's going to be calling you. God, like, you know what I mean? It would never end. You're right.
The mansion is, like, literally a five-minute walk from Tiger Stadium. So it's like,
I'm just saying, like, the LSU thing is it's a turnkey operation. It's built for you. Like I said, like the kids, they hated Brian Kelly and they still went there. Players want to play there. People grow up. I was just there. Like they dude, like it's like it's very Montreal Canadiens, like Mo. It's like a cult. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a team, it's a cult. Like they are dead serious about LSU football there. And so you have the players. All you got to do is win. You know what I mean? Like, Kelly just couldn't do it. Like, some of these other schools, it's like it's a bitch to get players to go there. You got to compete. Like, you get the Florida Gator jobs, like, all right, but you still got to compete with all these other teams like that. Or, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you get the LSU job, and it's like, no, the kids want to come here, so I don't have to compete really too much. I just got to coach them. All right, great stuff. We'll catch up with Cam on the grid. And we'll see you, Mo, down the road next week, and we'll know who's playing in the Grey Cup.
Might be Cam's dream. BC, Montreal, rematch 2006 in Winnipeg.
Cam's dream.
Cam's dreams were crushed on Saturday.
Yeah, I got no more dreams, Mo. It's over, buddy. Let's just hope we win money. Go BC, go Montreal.
And as we speak, the Dodgers are hosting their parade.
Oh, great, yeah. I think I'm going to go for a walk.
All right, we'll catch you guys. We'll catch you guys on the podcast and on Monday Night Football, Cowboys and Cardinals. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.